come back, just like get him blessed with this interesting Bible study. Ask the pastor. And I want to appreciate all those that have asked any questions so far. Really appreciate it. So please keep the questions coming. If you've not sent yours or you've not given us a call, please do. Let's have fellowship together and the Lord will richly bless you. Okay, we have a question. Shalom, Brother Moses. Good evening, sir. I'm Brother David. My question goes like this. There's a sister I approached. I told her that when the time for me to marry comes, I will come for her. Okay, because of the love I have for her, if it's the will of God. She replied, no problem. Let us have it in mind till then. If it's the will of God, as I said, then after this, I began to see her in my dreams. And anytime I see her in my dreams, I also see her life, that is the same day, despite her living in the same axis. But since that day I spoke to her about my feelings towards her, she started avoiding me. So, Pastor, I'm confused. Please help me because I want to settle down soon. But I'm Michael Dikachi. Sorry, my question is long, but I need your help, sir. Thanks.
The Bible says, he that findeth a wife. It is a type of the marriage between the church and Christ.
Mm.
You were not looking for God. It was God that was looking for you.
Mm.
Do you remember how many preachers have come to you? You didn't have time. You were avoiding to go to church.
That's true.
Did God give up?
At all.
If you believe that you love her, then pursue her. She's avoiding you. Chase her.
Mm.
You have to go and chase her until she tells you, I'm not interested.
Okay.
And the fact that the woman tells you, I'm not interested, though these days the whole thing is very, 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 very upside down.
Another generation.
It's another generation. And our own time, the first answer a woman gives anybody that comes to her, even if she loves you, she says, no, I don't want.
Okay.
Even if she's hoping you will come back again.
Mm.
Because they want to keep their dignity. Mm. They want to keep their pride. They don't want to look cheap.
Wow.
But this day, if you just say, sister, how now? The next thing is, what's your intention? what's your intention? So, brother, continue to chase her until she actually tells you no. And if she says no, remember you say you want to know the will of God. Then you will accept it as the will of God.
Hmm.
And then you move on to another sister.
Living by faith.
Yes, that is how we live by faith.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, more questions. Shalom, sir. More grace. Is it biblical for a person to call the only begotten son of God, angel? Sister Nome from Jos.
Eh? To call?
The only begotten son of God. That's Jesus. To call him an angel.
He's not an angel. Why will you call him angel? Well, except you want to. Because you'll be equating him with the other angels.
Yeah, sir, but don't forget that the word angel itself means messenger. Yes, sir.
Yeah, but we know in application, instead we say angel, we're looking at
servants
of God, the cherubims, celestial cherubims and the
seraphims
and we have archangel and all these ones. But to call Jesus an angel, I think he has revealed himself, the revelation of who he is has gone beyond calling him an angel.
Amen.
He is the almighty God.
Hallelujah.
Emmanuel. Amen. Is higher. Amen. Than angel.
Angel. Amen.
How can you call the creator a creature?
Amen.
Maybe
she listens to your teachings. In your teaching of Revelation chapter 10, you said the mighty angel that came down from heaven,
yes,
is the Lord Jesus.
Yes, they call it the archangel.
Mm, mighty. But
the mighty angel that came up, we taught that, but see the description.
Yes, sir. The glory and everything.
See the description that it is Christ, but that does not make you call him
an angel.
An angel. Amen. When he's telling you, the language usage there is the heavenly being that came down. And you. So I think it depends on the usage. Of course, also, we know that there is also the angelic presence of God.
Okay.
When God appears in an angel form. But when you are relating with him, you relate with him not as an angel.
As God.
As God. Because here we worship God. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 22. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8.
Okay. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had seen and heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not.
What should you not do?
For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship
God. You are to worship God. God only, don't worship an angel.
Amen.
And here we worship the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So if you worship him, then how can you call him angel?
An angel.
When the Bible says we cannot worship,
worship angels. Thank you, sir. More grace.
Even Colossians chapter 2.
Colossians 2.
Verse 18. Thank you. Verse 18. Thank you.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels.
You see?
Intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind.
So you don't worship angels.
Amen. So these are our white garments brethren. Angel, Michael, Angel Gabriel. Songs of adoration.
No. It's the same thing like the Catholics. They are
yes.
mediums to get to God.
Okay.
You know, Angel Jagura, that is to come, there is work to be done. Instead of calling on God direct to come by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Angel Jagura, Angel Michael, Angel this, Angel Gabriel, Angel this. Even they will have oil, Angel Michael oil. Angel. Well, that is their religion. You know, that's not Christianity. I'm talking about Christian
faith. That's their religion.
That's their religion. They're not Christians.
So the religion is tagged in Jesus' name.
Well, that's another Jesus.
Another Jesus.
Another Jesus.
Okay, another have more questions coming in. Good evening, sir. And God bless you. Sir, may God continue to bless you. Sir, continue and for no reason should you even think of reducing the bar, even for 0.00001% at all. If someone has any experience that something else has differently happened to him, sir, should the person go to the extent of fasting to death if he is yet to confirm if he has the Holy Ghost? The reason I had a dream where you asked two people to hold and anoint me, but I'm still in doubt. I have had dreams of seeing the rapture taking place and meeting tribulation and seeing some of the things in Revelations happening, and sir, it is frightening. Though the dream was much, but when I accepted the message, it stopped. When I was deep in several falls, I keep having them, but since this year I don't have them. This is the reason I ask, sir, if it means me fasting to death for God to answer me with the Holy Ghost, is it advisable so as not to at all make any tiny mistake? Secondly, sir, is it wrong to pray God for a grace to do service for several burdens? I don't mind the cost it might be to my flesh. But sir, people are suffering, and each day by day, I just come to solve this problem. Is it right to pray for any grace that can help to alleviate people's suffering, especially in poor areas? A brother from Lagos State.
God bless you. Yeah, what you're actually displaying is a compassionate spirit, one. And then you are also, you know, your response to, how do I put it, the impact of revelation of the soon coming rapture, it gets you, you know, very apprehensive, very, very excited. You don't want to miss it for any reason. But always remember that we accept salvation by faith. And salvation is God's own program. Salvation is not by fasting and prayer. Salvation is an estate of a submissive heart that enables you to be obedient to the word of God as revealed to you. You only pray every time. Your prayer is not, give me the ability to follow your word. That's why he said, watch and pray. You watch to see if you are measuring up with his standard as given to you. And the dreams that you have, you know, They are not to bring any anxieties and create, you know, anxieties and make you enter depression from thinking. The dreams you have is just to make you to be more heaven-bound.
Amen.
You know, in your Christian walk, in your walk on earth here. So don't worry. Don't bother yourself doing dry fasting and fasting for the Holy Ghost. Just keep praying that God will take you to the estate you desire spiritually.
Amen.
The truth is, even the desire for the Holy Ghost is evidence that you have the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And that is one mystery people don't know. And that desire will not go until God has finished his purpose with you. Sometimes he comes there with that insatiable desire for better, to be better, to be better, to be better, to achieve his purpose in your life. And so don't worry. Don't bother yourself. Do your part. Be obedient. Be humble. Be prayerful. And just submit yourself for God to fulfill his perfect will in your life.
Don't be anxious.
Don't be anxious at all. No. Remove anxiety. Anxiety is wrong. And you don't play God. You know, you see a lot of people around you who are in need. Now, so what you do is to keep interceding for them, that God will make provision for them. And you can offer yourself, God, you can use me. But God may not use you, can use any other person. The important thing is that the needs are met and not through whom the need is met.
Yes.
You know, because of your prayer, you know, you know, I went to Europe one time some years back, and I saw during my one-on-one counseling with the people, and I discovered that I think it was Spain or so. I think it was Spain. And then I discovered that so many people, immigrants that were there, no documents.
Wow.
Therefore, you know, they were really suffering. You can imagine they are not part of the system. Some of them are declared, you know, non grata, you know,
wow,
persona non grata in the country they live. And so you can imagine how miserable they are. Some of them for years, there are people here are wondering what is happening. A lot of frustrations. And it gave me a burden. And in the program, I took a serious, you know, I fasted that day and presented that burden before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I found myself making such pronouncement, you know, before them. I came back. The next month, the government was changed.
Amen.
And the new government that came pardoned everyone.
Hallelujah.
That had been at that
Amen.
Time without document that they should, you know, file in, and they were giving their documents.
Amen.
You see, so, you know, you just pray and God knows how to answer.
Amen.
It may not be through you. If God has not ordained you to be a millionaire, there's nothing you can do. But there is somebody he has ordained. Pray that God will touch the heart of that person. You know, I desire that type of prayer you have, that God will use me. When I don't like seeing people suffering around, but I can't play God. Remember, he created them. He's seeing their situation. And so ours is to pray for them. That is the ministry of intercession.
Amen.
So you stand in the gap for them. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Wow, that testimony is quite interesting. Good evening, Pastor Mrolim. The Bible made us understand that we should walk by faith and not by sight. In a situation that one is in a relationship and truly in love with each other, and you are praying for God to show you some things in revelation or in a dream, and it's not forthcoming, should one continue in that relationship? Because the love in them is genuine. Thank you, sir. Sister Esther from Niger State.
I don't know where they got this thing about God had to show me in dream. God did not ordain that you will choose your wife by a revelation.
Hey, another bomb.
God did not ordain that you will choose your wife by a prophecy. Revelation can come. Prophecy can come. It will come, but you will not be seeking for it. That is how you will know. You will not be seeking for it.
Okay.
But it can come. Prophecy and revelation, whatever revelation, dream, whatever, they will only come to give you a bearing. Should there be a confusion? What God has ordained, how God has ordained for you to know your partner is a love. He puts in you for her, and it's a type of feeling that is not shared. You can't share for another person. That's why when somebody called to me, one young man called me one time from wherever, it was on phone. He said he has three sisters. He doesn't know which one to choose. I quickly told him, I say, why will you go to three women? Is one not enough for you? Why are you going to three? Something is wrong with you. Drop to a whole one. That's all. That's your thing. So it is, there's a feeling you will have, and that is love. And you're already telling us you have it. Better go and marry the person you love. Before Satan will come and scatter it through a revelation. Go and marry the person you love. God bless you.
Amen. Wow. I hope our spouses and bachelors are listening to what our pastor is saying. It has been the questions that have been coming in today.
You know, some of them make mistake of going to a prophet to confirm. There are prophets that have scattered relationships.
Wow.
The man, immediately you go in there, you didn't know you were going before a fornicator. And he says, wow. And maybe he's even single. And then he says, I desire you, you're a pretty girl. And he said, go and pray again. And begin to scatter the thing.
Wow.
You know, or just go to these agents of destruction that destroy destinies of people. And before you know, scatter it. There are even people, ministers, that scatter even marriages. You're already married. You come to them for counseling. They scatter it.
No.
It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So be careful. Be careful.
Thank you.
Marry who you love. That's all.
Thank you so much, sir. Wow, this will go down well with a lot of people. Thank you, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Is it wrong to read other religious books like Grey Movement, Ekanka, from Brother Andrew, Edo State?
There must be a reason why you're reading them. So if what you're looking for, you think you will get it, then continue to read it. Next question.
Okay. Shalom to the Bride of Christ. Can a believer get married to an unbeliever? Is it a sin for women to bab their hair? Precious from Promised Land.
Wait,
promised
another land. One. It says, what?
Can a believer get married to an unbeliever? And the second question, is it a sin for women to bab their hair?
Why should you bab your hair? Your hair is part of your glory. It's wrong to bab your hair.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
And then you are asking a question, can a believer marry an unbeliever? I don't know. You yourself, you answer it yourself.
Amen.
The Bible says you should not be your neighbor. Don't you read your Bible? Maybe he doesn't know. Okay. Read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
2 Corinthians chapter 6.
From verse 14.
Says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?
Okay, so you read it on your own. You who asked that question. God bless you.
Amen. Okay, for women to bab their hair, is it a sin?
Of course, I've said it is sin. Your hair is part of your glory. You don't do that.
Amen. Okay, Shalom, sir. Please, is it a sin for a believer to put dye on his or her hair? Sister Precious from Mina.
Today's question, Nawa. The motive for doing it is what God will judge.
Okay.
If you are dyeing it to restore the original color of your hair, then the color must come back as it is, as it should be. So when somebody looks at you, you won't say that you are doing it for fashion.
Okay.
So maybe you don't like white hair coming out. It's making you look older than your age and it embarrasses you. It's a sickness. So, and every sickness has medicine. So, if that is the reason you decide to dye your hair, then that's understandable.
Okay.
But if not, why are you pouring your dye? Why are you dye changing the texture of your skin? Because dye is changing the color from whatever, you know, color it was before. So the motive is what God judges. God bless you.
Amen. More questions coming in? Okay, Brother Friday from Lagos State, Nigeria. God bless you, Brother Friday.
Shalom, sir.
God bless you, Brother Friday. Are you a member of Bread Assembly Church?
Yes, sir. Sir, last week, sir, I was in a dream and I found myself in that dream. It was open. I was there in the mind that it was open the four church ages. That's what the thought called. The first church ages, somebody come out. The second first churches, somebody come out. The third one, somebody come out. The fourth, come out. The fifth, somebody come out. But the sixth and the seventh was blood. I did not see anybody. Sir, in the underground, I heard the old doctrine. That old doctrine, just like a truck. That truck, it has no ending, but I see the beginning. That the earth just become low, as if my hand is touching the earth. So the earth, when I saw it, just like a feather stood, a brown white stood and was down. I was hearing that under his wing that will fly. Under his wing that will fly. So my question, sir, that's sixth and seventh church ages. I could not see, it was blood. I couldn't get what God is trying to show me in that revelation.
I think by what you saw, the sixth and seventh church age, God is telling you, go and study it again.
Mm.
That is the revelation God is giving you. Go and study the sixth and the seventh church age. You are not yet clear with it.
Mm.
Simple.
Wow. Oh, thank you, sir.
God bless you,
okay,
for Friday.
Thank you, sir.
So go and study it. And then if you have any question, you can ask it to get it clearer.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, more questions coming in. Good evening, Daddy. I'm Sister Esther from Bauchi State. My question is this: can a born-again Christian separate from her husband due to violence, but will not remarry?
Yeah, that is too fighting, and the church would normally come in and settle you people. You separate so that you know you can
unbelieving. Okay, let me see the question again, please.
Yes.
Can separate from my husband, okay, not an unbeliever. All right.
No, you separate from your husband, it's too fighting.
Okay.
You know, separation is to allow tempers cool for people to reason what you are doing. Whether am I mad? Am I crazy? Should I go for a psychiatric treatment or what? Then, you know, separation is a period of retreat.
Okay.
To look at the situation, then be sincere with yourself. Then intermediaries come in and they settle you again. Of course, during that separation period, you are not to go and remarry.
Amen.
You have to wait until you are settled back. You have to forgive. There will be need to forgive.
Okay.
Yes.
But sir, what would be your counsel to women who are undergoing violence?
Yeah, separate.
Domestic violence.
Stay away, separate.
Okay.
Until the person's head comes to normal, and you are guaranteed that he has become normal. Because, I mean, when you see a man that takes pleasure in beating a woman, you know it's a psychiatric case.
Mm.
And don't stay there and say you're a Christian. The man will kill you, then you will know. It's vice versa. There's some women too that beat their husbands.
He goes.
A small thing, you take kitchen and carry knife and come. Yeah, joke. You think it's you say there and say, I know, I love. Better love is run away first. Love your life first. You have to love as you love yourself. Run away first, protect yourself. Before you show love for, don't stay and allow anybody abuse you to the extent of dehumanizing you, even taking away your life in the name of the Christian faith. That foolishness, that's what Christian faith.
Okay, thank you, sir. More questions. Shalom, sir. Brother Isaiah from Benin State. Sir, I will wonder if he or she is saved.
The spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit, the scripture is
Romans 8.
Let's read the book of Romans I think that is Romans 8:16. What does he say? Proverbs 14.
Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, mm-hmm. they are the sons of God.
That you see now, you are led by the Spirit of God. That is one.
For ye have not received the spirit of
that
bondage.
That is if you have received the spirit of
again
God.
To fear.
Yes.
But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba,
your
Father.
Your answer is verse 16.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
That's what you will know. Amen. It's not by assumption. You will know.
It's
not by assumption because it's a relationship you have with Him that assures you always.
Amen.
That you have a Father.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Good evening, sir. Is it right for a pastor to remarry after his wife left him for other men?
Not only pastor, even any Christian at all. If your wife leaves you and goes and remarries, the action of going to remarry makes her to be living in adultery. That is her own. But you are also free because she's not only living in adultery because she's remarries anyway. She remarries anyway. So that's adultery according to the Bible. And now you are free. You cannot remarry.
Amen.
She has broken the bond.
Wow. Yes. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, sir. What is the state of our marriage? I have not completed the bride price, but they have given me the woman. Brother Abraham from Yula.
Brother Abraham, you have to follow the requirement of that tradition that family gives you to hand over the child, their daughter, to you for marriage. If they accept part of it and they hand over your daughter, their daughter to you, it's part of the tradition. The important is that they have accepted something from you and it qualifies them according to their tradition to leave the daughter with you. You have not sinned. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, sir. More questions coming in.
But make sure you pay your own. Make sure you pay the balance when it is demanded.
All right. Thank you, sir. More questions coming in. Evening, sir. Please, I desire to know why Jesus cursed the fig tree, even after knowing it wasn't the season for figs to fruit. Dan from Imo State.
Brother Dan, he cursed the fig tree. Well, first and foremost, the Lord was using it to teach us two things. And we can learn even up to three things from there.
Wow.
Now, the first one is the power of the spoken word.
Okay.
That when you speak,
you believe.
And you believe, that is why it gave rise to Mark 11 and verse 23. What does it say?
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain,
if you say,
be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea.
Okay, so they can read that on their own.
Yes, sir.
So that is the power of the spoken word.
Okay.
And we exercise it. I practice it. And every Christian is supposed to practice it.
Amen.
Adepts. Power of the spoken word. You were having a wound on your leg.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You were having a wound. It's a cameraman. I know you cannot see him because he's behind the camera. And then I saw a wound that was growing cancerous. And then it was refusing to heal.
That's right.
And I pointed, I said, I give you 7 days to die,
power,
dry, wither away. In the name of Jesus. And by the seventh day,
hallelujah.
According to. Now, I learned that from
the Lord Jesus.
The fig tree experience.
Amen.
That's what it teaches us.
Amen.
Now, the second thing that we learn from there is, first and foremost, why will a tree bear such leaves without fruit? It was a deceitful tree. So, okay, imagine how hungry Christ was. And he came there and discovered that with all the attraction, no fruit. Now, you say, was he talking to a tree? He was not talking to a tree. He was talking to every religious person, every Christian. The leaves there is speaking of the leaf.
Religion.
It's speaking of religion. No fruit. Christianity without character. Christianity without character will produce curse. You will be a curse. God is unhappy with it. God will be angry with you. That's what I want you to note.
Okay.
And it was speaking of Israel.
Okay, that's a tall thing, and then.
Yes. Now, the truth is, let's go back a little bit. He says that, for it was not yet time.
Yes, sir.
Now.
For the time of fig was not yet.
Yes. So, if the time of fig was not yet, then why are you pushing yourself out and then acting the Christian faith when you should have waited for the character to be produced first? So it tells us that a lot of people do not wait for the manifestation, for God to do a work of conversion in them, and then launch out and begin to claim Christianity. And then you mess up, because when people get attracted to you, they will notice that you are a salt that has lost its savour. So that is what we learn from there. But it's also a perfect picture of the Jews, the fig tree, you know, that they came and they, you know, you saw what they did with Christ, and they received that curse that scattered them in AD 70 to 1946-47.
Amen.
So it is Israel in her relationship with God.
Wow. Three things from that short passage. Well, it takes an Issachar anointing to see. Thank you, sir. More grace. More questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. Please help me interpret this. I had a dream where two snakes appeared to me, and in revelation, a sword was given to me. I caught the head of the male, but the female one escaped. What does it mean, sir? Brother Nathan from Eula, Adamawa State.
Brother Nathan, again, it's a dream. And you know, we all know that the snake is problem. It's temptation.
That's right.
It's a trial that is coming. It's a test of your faith. Snake is poisonous. You know, so if you kill one, the other one escape. That means you should be on the watch out, because that one may still come back.
Okay.
So you have escaped from one, and the remaining one, male and female. So it could be husband and wife, man and woman. In fact, they are married anyway, male and female. So that, I think the revelation is very clear. It just gives you a prayer point to pray and watch out that the assignment of the enemy against you, the attack, they will not succeed. Their poison, they will not come against you.
Shalom. So my question is, as a believer, is it right to buy food stuff like maize, beans, and store it so that when the price rises up, you sell it for profit? If time allows, we want biblical backup, because we are still learning. Nagode, Brother Joshua Ghana from Gaki Dagombe.
There is a scripture in the Bible that speaks against hoarding.
Hoarding, yeah.
So 11:26.
Okay.
Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 26. And there are more scriptures too, even apart from that. You can get that on your own. Because if you notice, verse 25 speaks about, you know, being liberal.
Yes, sir.
You know, verse 24 and verse 25 is talking about being liberal. Then, and we are expected to be liberal. And then he says, he that withholded corn, you see, that is a hoarding. The Bible, sir, is against hoarding.
Okay.
God bless you.
All right. Shalom, sir. Good evening and God bless. My question is this: each time I sleep and dream any bad dream, I immediately wake up. But if I don't have a bad dream, I don't wake up. I want to know why, sir.
You wake up so that you react immediately and pray. Then the good one, it's actually come to pass.
Hallelujah.
So it does not need the urgency like the bad one.
Okay. More questions? Shalom to the bride of Christ. May the Lord keep you and strengthen you, sir. My question is, if you have been a friend to an unbeliever and you finally got him converted, and for that reason his family hated you, is it right to leave the brother because his family does not like you? May his joy from Kogi State. God bless you, sir.
What do you mean leave the brother? I don't understand. Let me see that question again.
The Lord, okay, you've been a friend to an unbeliever. and you finally got him converted.
Now that's where I wanted to. You got him or her converted. Because the person asking this question is Miss Joy.
And she got him converted.
Should you leave him?
Okay.
So you are talking of a relationship now. You are a Christian, you are into a relationship with a non-Christian. And he loved you so much and he was ready to follow your religion, and now trouble with the family. So should you leave him? You know, that's what you're saying. Well, my question for you is to go in prayer that God will touch the heart of the parents, the family. And if he's actually saved, if he's not just following you so that he will marry you, God will go beyond that and touch the family.
Okay.
And through him, the family too will be converted.
Amen.
Through their relationship. God bless
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we have more questions. Okay, good evening, sir. Are angels also in the same image as God? Because you said God was talking to angels. Please support with scriptures, sir. Some from Papa.
They are spirit beings. They are spirit beings. So that is the image of God. They are spirit beings and they are also eternal beings. So yes, they are in the image of God.
Amen. More questions? Shalom, Pastor, and the rest of the brethren over there in Nigeria. And shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. My question goes thus. Please, can a Christian do artificial family planning? Sister Josephine from Cameroon.
I've answered that question several times. The motive for doing it is what God will judge.
Amen.
Can be for medical reasons.
Economic reasons.
Economic reasons. There are economic reasons that God will understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know. Like I said, medical advice of a doctor.
Okay. All right. More questions? The winner from Kogi State. Please, what is the sin of Moses? Thank you, sir.
Which sin of Moses? Did Moses commit any sin? Well, the only thing we know was
that... didn't make him enter the promised land.
That he didn't make it in the promised land because he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. That is a sin.
Okay. More questions coming in. Shalom, sir. My name is Lama from Akwanga. Someone came to ask for my hand in marriage. He's a widower, but he married after his wife died. After the wedding, he discovered the wife deceived him. She has serious health challenge, so it became a problem that she had to leave. That was 10 years ago. Now he wants to marry me, but his church, Ekwa, said they cannot marry and they will not wed him. Okay, let me take it again.
Let's take it again.
Someone came to ask for my hand in marriage.
He's a widower,
but he married after his wife died.
After his wife died, he married. Okay.
After the wedding,
he discovered
the wife deceived him. She has serious health challenge, so it became a problem that she had to leave. That's the wife he got married to. That was 10 years ago. Now he wants to marry me. But his church, Ekwa, said they cannot marry and they will not wed him. I need advice on this.
She had an infirmity, maybe HIV,
anything,
maybe a particular health challenge she knew, and she didn't tell him. Oh, that's marriage in deceit.
Yes, sir.
Definitely.
So the definitely. Church is wrong then.
So the church, you know, should have considered the fact that he should have confessed that to him. If she hid it from him, that was wrong.
Yes, sir.
So I'd be mission.
That
contract was on the foundation of deceit. So it doesn't hold. In fact, God does not even see them as married.
Wow.
Marriage in deceit. So it's free to remarry.
It's so painful, sir, that a lot of people are in bondage because they lack this knowledge of marriage in deceit.
Yeah, it's difficult to actually accept that doctrine because it's like you are sanctioning divorce.
That's true.
So it's risky. People prefer to stay safe. But why? We should know the truth and preach it.
I've heard some people say, as children of God, how can you marry in deceit?
No, you can marry in deceit. In this age, you can do it. Because a lot of people are not converted and they take advantage of, you know,
our simplicity
of faith. Because she won't do that to an unbeliever. No, she won't do that to an unbeliever.
Wow.
So, you know, the unbeliever will strike.
So, our sister Lama from Akwanga, the church is wrong.
It's wrong.
Yes, sir.
Any pastor that can wed you, let them wed you. If anyone refuses to wed you, go anywhere and let them wed you.
Brother Samuel Yakubu from Kaduna State is calling us.
Hello.
God bless you, sir. You're on air. Let's hear you.
In the book of Numbers, about the story of Balaam, in the chapter 22, but I've forgotten the verse, that God said that he should go. Then when he now was not going, God, the Bible now says that God was not angry with him. So I want to know why is God angry with him when he said that he should go.
I preached a message already that I titled The Doctrine of Balaam.
Yes, sir.
The Doctrine of Balaam. Maybe if you get it, you read it fully. But in a summary, Balaam is not a Jew.
Okay.
Balaam was being contracted by King Balak, a king of the Moabites.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
When he heard that the children of Israel in the wilderness were passing by to their promised land, he said they should curse them.
Mm.
Yes. And Balaam decided to go and inquire through his oracle. And God told him that you cannot curse whom I, God, have blessed.
Amen.
These children have been blessed. You cannot curse them, though that is your job. Then he came out and he told the messengers of King Balak that came. And to go and tell Balak that it's not possible.
Mm.
Balak sent people again with money, gifts, seriously. And then Balaam said, okay, let them wait. Let him go and inquire again. So God knew that he was coming to inquire for something that he, God, has already told him.
Mm.
Because of his eyes in that gift, he is now coming to still ask. So God got angry with him.
Wow.
And God is not only angry with Balaam. There are many of us today that fall within the same category. There is the perfect will of God that he tells us in the Bible. Like a woman should not be a preacher, a pastor. It's already written that you are seeing it.
Mm.
Then you now go to begin to disturb God. God, please, anoint me, use me. And you are disturbing God. So Balaam, when he went the second time, God told him, okay, you can go. Go now, go. So he now believed that God told him to go. So God was angry that he's actually going after he has known the perfect will. So God was going to kill him, but he's still a merciful God. So when he went, as he opened his mouth, instead of cursing, he was God bless. So that was why God was angry with him in a summary. God bless you, Samuel.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. We have the conviction that we are husband and wife, but we made a mistake of fornicating. I am scared if we are still on the path of righteousness, though we've begged for forgiveness and consecrated ourselves. But are we still made for each other? Sister Mercy from Lagos.
Sister Mercy, you fell into fornication. It's not because you had a conviction that you're husband and wife. You are not husband and wife until you are pronounced husband and wife after all the procedures. So, you committed fornication, and what God wants to hear from us is that you realize that what you did is wrong, and you repent. You don't do it again. And you ask Him for forgiveness. He will forgive you according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins,
that is, if we confess it, yes,
He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And remember, we accept everything by faith. Yes. And you move ahead with your life, and don't do it again.
It doesn't affect their relationship.
No, it does not affect your relationship because you have confessed it to Him, to God. Okay. And but the important thing is repentance, and is turning your back against such, and you don't do it. And one of the ways is, you know, something gave rise to it. There is a type of closeness you should avoid.
Should be
if you are not too close, you should maintain social distance so that that virus of fornication will not be, you will not contract it. There is social distance against fornication virus. Make sure you maintain that distance. Thank you.
Amen. So youth and singles, maintain social distance against fornication virus.
Thank you.
Love will help us. Okay. I'm Sister Rachel from Benue. If you have a spouse that doesn't take counsel from anyone, he does whatever he wants at any time. All he needs from the wife is sex. He doesn't care whether the wife is happy or not. And I'm fed up with the marriage. What do? I don't have affection for him anymore because he's not sorry at any point in time.
Take him both to the Lord in prayer and also to the pastor who will counsel you. That's the solution for you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Next question. Shalom, Pastor Moses. More grace upon your life and ministry. I have had revelations of rapture a couple of times, but I did not go in rapture. But my attention was always turned to the multitudes who didn't make it. The one I saw last, I was hearing your voice preaching how guilty those who didn't make it would be. I want to ask why I myself didn't go in the rapture with the very few I always saw made it. Adejare from Abuja.
Adejare from Abuja. This is God's own way of telling you rapture is real. And I should make your call and election sure and get yourself ready. Make sure you are prepared that it is real. So that is what that dream is telling you, that many people will not make it who you think are Christians. Many are poor, few are chosen. And what God is telling you is make sure you are among the people that will make it. You know, what I discovered with God is that hardly God shows any mortal, very rare, shows any Christian that he is in a rapture. He doesn't bother to show you that. He only shows those who are supposed to be in the rapture, but they are not taking it seriously. Then he shows you such a dream that the rapture took place and didn't go. So wake up and make sure. You know, there are some dreams you have, but when you wake up, you say, thank God, it's dream. You know, at least this is dream. So that you say that it will not happen. That's and then true. You make sure it doesn't happen.
Amen.
You know, that is the kind of thing. That is evidence that you're a candidate for the rapture. And God is telling you, wake up and be more watchful.
Okay. Oh, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Rachidi is calling us from Ireland. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
Hello.
God
Hello.
Bless you, Chidi.
My question is in three parts.
Okay.
First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Yeah. First Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Says that it was that Satan rose up against Israel and caused David to take a census of the people of Israel. So then again, in 2 Samuel chapter 24, if you read from verse 1 up to 15, but verse 1 says that once again, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he caused David to harm them by taking a census. He says, go and count the people of Israel and Judah. The Lord told 24. Him.
Okay.
So then my question becomes, was it God that actually incited David
24.
to count the children of Israel, or was it Satan? Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, like I said, said it was Satan. But 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1 says it was God. So that's my first question.
Okay.
Then my second question was, why did God punish David after David had been provoked to do it against his natural will, to count the children of Israel against his natural will? He was provoked either by God or Satan. So why was he punished? for that.
But lastly, okay.
Why did God not punish David or deal with David? But God spared David, and David, who actually committed the sin, God spared him, and God punished and killed 70,000 innocent people. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay.
And God bless you.
Okay, Brother Chidi.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Maybe to save your credit, just listen to me. It's a question that is often asked about, you know, the Bible says Satan. You know, we saw we are in Chronicles. It says Satan was the one that steered him to do.
Enticed him.
Yes, but if you come to Samuel.
Yes, sir.
Second Samuel chapter 24. He said, and again, verse 1.
And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah.
Now, that means they had committed something against God. God was angry with them, and he wanted to punish them. He wanted to punish Israel. So he needed an occasion to punish Israel. And the only way to punish Israel was to use a minister. Just like in the story of Ahab, the spirit that came to God in the meeting he was having when Ahab was going in the battle of Ramoth Gilead together with Jehoshaphat.
That's right.
And he gathered 400
prophets.
And as soon as he set up his heart to go and into that battle, a meeting started in heaven.
Hey.
And a spirit came for his ministry.
A lying spirit.
A lying spirit. I'm just paraphrasing that story. And the same thing also, that God decided to use Satan.
Mm.
So that the same way he hardened the heart of Pharaoh to refuse to release Israel so that he will come again and punish him. You can as well ask the same question, but why will he harden the heart of Pharaoh? Will have let them go, but God will come again and harden his heart to refuse them. So you ask that question there too. But in the case of Pharaoh, he said he raised him up
for this purpose,
so that he will show his might, to show that there is a God that can do such things.
Yeah. Amen.
Remember, we are created for his pleasure. And Romans chapter 9 says, who are you to reply your God? And we are mere clay. And he's the potter.
That's right.
He chooses what to do for his pleasure. He knows what he wants to achieve. So, in the case of this, you discover that he stirred up David to punish Israel. He wanted an occasion to punish Israel. So Israel had to do something that you make him be angry very well.
Mm.
Just as when they left Egypt, they were a mixed multitude. All of them should not enter.
Mm.
So he said he decided a journey that would have taken 40 days, took 40 years. He said to prove them, to test them, so that it would give him reason to eliminate all those ones that followed.
Mm.
And eliminated them through battles, through all that they went through in the wilderness. So he wanted to punish Israel. He was angry with them. One time he raised up Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes,
in fact, in Joel chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, verse Sammy. 25. What did he say?
Joel 2:25.
Yes.
Says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army.
What did he call them?
My great army.
And who are these caterpillar?
The four world empires.
It's the four world empires.
Amen.
The Babylonians,
Medo-Persia,
the Grecians, and the Romans. Each time Israel misbehaves, he will send them to go and send them into captivity.
Mm.
While you are looking at a Babylon, you are looking at the Medo-Persia, you are looking at the Roman, wicked people, a spiritual person writing under inspiration will say, God sent them. And now Joel saw it. And God is speaking through Joel that they are his army.
A great army which I sent among you. And he called them
great army that sent. So that spirit that came and stirred up David to do that which will bring the anger of God is God actually doing it. That is how we understand that scripture. Now, why did he leave
David
and killed
70,000
what we people. Call innocent Israel? Well, that was the same reason too that you say you can also ask Aaron and Miriam committed an offense. God came there and punished only Miriam. Why did he leave
Aaron?
It's for a purpose.
That's right.
God knows why he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So you look very well and then you will see that it means the reason why Aaron was doing that
because of Miriam.
Miriam was the one that steered him.
Hallelujah.
So also, those Jews that died,
they may
be among those troubling even David himself.
Amen.
He may be troubling even David himself.
He's a righteous judge. So that's right.
And remember, he's a righteous judge.
Amen.
And that's the most I think I can explain for that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, sir. It's clear from that. Okay. Shalom, Pastor. Can a woman wear trousers in order to protect herself from bad weather? Say, for example, minus 50 degrees, Brother Joe from Canada.
There's a way you will wear that trouser. It will be an underwear. It will be part of fighting the cold from underwear. And then you will take your skirt and cover it.
Wow.
That will show that you are not wearing it for fashion.
And
that is exactly how our sisters dress in Europe, in America, even in that same Canada.
More grace. Okay, we'll take another short break. And when we come back, we'll continue our interesting Bible study. We'll be right back.